Welcome to the Jointery Podcast, a podcast where we study the lives of two dads trying to find the balance between the families, hobbies and work. This week on the Jointery, we discover...
Look at us doing an episode where we actually talk about real shit.
Let's search for the meaning of life as it had never been witnessed before. The Jointery Podcast.
So it is pretty cool though. It's like a tile sample. It's like one of those tile boards that you get the samples at Home Depot. Yeah, right. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
How's that new little printer working for you,
dude? It is fucking cool as shit, man. I kind of shit on this printer when it first came out, right? Because I was like, oh, like why is fucking Bamboo coming out with like this little ass 3D printer? Like, why are they fucking around with that? They need to make the big printer for the big headed man like myself, right?
You just want something big enough to print helmets, right? That's your whole goal.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Right. Yeah. I want full size helmets that'll fit my head. Right.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. I could piece it up. I just want to hit print. I want to pull off the friggin' helmet. I don't want to do as little work to it as possible so I can start enjoying it as fast as possible. And and it was an interesting thing, dude, because I'd worked with them before and they had asked me to put some shit on their TikTok, on my TikTok. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then all of a sudden, they're like, hey, you know what? Like you said, a lot of your followers have never done 3D printing before. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, well, like, let's just send you this little printer. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, right? But now that I got it, I know exactly what I'm going to do with it. It is really fast. It is really easy to use, right?
Accurate. And
is extremely, dude. Like I showed these benchy boats, which are like these little test things, right? It's
going to be
impossible for you to see on this camera.
No, I've seen them, yeah.
This one took like 45 minutes on the P1P. It's perfect. And then this one took 19 minutes on the new one, and it is also basically perfect. Right?
I'm really surprised, honestly, that it seems like it would be the nerd race to the top, right? Like these companies are all racing to get whoever can fit the helmet. Whoever can print the helmet is going to win the war. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you imagine wall behind you right now would be nothing but Star Wars helmets behind you right now. I mean, it would be crazy. So I can't believe that that's not been a major like factor in, you know, which company is going to be able to do that first. I mean, God, man, they'll win the nerd war.
Nerd war's coming, bro. Nerd war's been coming for a long time. But I'll tell you, this new one, right? I'm going to print helmets, but I'm going to print mini helmets, right? Like quarter size helmets, dude. Like they'll be like maybe 6 inches tall, right? Like the size of a coffee mug. And I just want to print all of them, right? And like, cause I can print multicolor on this thing. And I could, like, dude, the fact that you could get a multicolor printer for under $500 that works this good is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like the regular one, right? If you don't do multicolor, is like $260. My printer that I got originally was $230, right? And it had none of the features. Like, I was talking to Nick Birchtold about this yesterday, and I was like, if you look at like all of the machines that work with digital design, where digital design is a part of it, right?
3D
printing, you got design, you're talking about lasers, you're talking about even Cricuts, you're talking about CNCs, you're talking about like all those machines, right?
Anything like that.
And since I've been like really being like a more of a hardcore maker, I can't even say that I'm not, right? 3D printing has advanced like a million fold compared to all the others. To run a CNC is not much easier today than it was 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
To run a laser, it's basically, X-Tool's trying it out a little bit with their X-Tool software, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, but like for your average laser user, it's not a thing. But with 3D printing, bro, like this new printer, like if you bought one of these printers, okay?
Yeah.
You would be doing perfect prints within an hour of you taking it out of the box.
Well, that's the thing about this. Like is there skill involved to begin with, or is it just the design aspect that has the skill involved? Once it gets to the printer, it's just kind of like you let the printer do its thing. So like pretty much anybody could, I mean, your mom could probably,
there's a ton of skill in it.
Is there?
There is. However, for an average Joe, right?
Uh-huh.
Like you don't need to learn anything. Dude, you don't even need to download software to your computer anymore. Okay?
Yeah.
You could fucking use the app, find a file. You're like, oh, I want one of these, right? And you hit print from your phone, and somebody already has gone through and optimized all of the settings for that particular print. Like it's incredible. You know, like,
well, yeah, so
you
the
don't
skill-
have to go through the whole bed leveling bullshit that I had to go through.
Like,
if the hot end clogs on this thing, you don't even need a tool to change it.
Yeah, I hate when my hot end clogs. That's the worst.
Well, it's because you eat too much cheese. That hot end just fucking binds up and fucking can't get shit in there. So,
no, that's just crazy to me, though, that, like, I mean, to think about, like, really, I was asking you, you were talking, but, I mean, could your mom buy this machine, pull it out of the box, set it up easily and get printing? I mean, is it that easy?
It is that easy.
So the skill level, that's what I'm saying. So the skill level really is in the design, obviously, side of the thing. It's not in the actual printing.
Thing is, there's people that are far more interested in doing that stuff, right? Like some dudes just love designing shit and they don't really love printing that much.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And there's some guys that get really into the optimizing your print settings stuff. And like before with my Ender, right? I would download a file and I would have had to mess with the settings and do a bunch of test prints just to see what I could get, like the perfect kind of print, right?
Yeah. Took a while.
This machine already comes preloaded. You tell it what you're putting into the machine, and the machine's like, oh yeah, I know how to use that way better than you'll ever guess. So
yeah, they've just made it a lot dummy proof, a lot more dummy proof.
Really? You know, that's like awesome. Like it's the opposite experience I'm having compared to what I am with that fiber laser I have. Mobile laser. That is the opposite experience. That experience has me in a weird spot, man. Like the company Monport, right?
Yeah.
Gave me the opportunity to test this laser, and the laser came with a minute and a half long instructional video on how to assemble it. And it would and to this day, okay. This laser comes with a foot pedal, right? And I have no idea what this foot pedal does.
There's no instructions on the foot pedal.
There's no instructions, period.
That's just crazy to me. How do these companies put out these products without instructions? Is there online instructions? Is there online manual catalog?
No, nothing. So like, and with this laser, it's not like the diode laser where it's like power and speed, right? You also got frequency and Q pulse, right?
I've heard frequency makes it darker from talking to a few other people who have those lasers or fiber lasers, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it does. And like, I guess, but so like, but the thing is that like this company has no instructions on it. So I did one post and I got half a dozen dudes hit me up and like, yo, tell me everything about this laser. I've been wanting to buy one, right? And if this is the one you like, I'm interested in buying it. And I've told them, like, don't buy it yet.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't feel comfortable in pushing this laser right now.
That's weird, man. That makes me think the company should. I mean, have you had a conversation with the Monport people?
Yes, and honestly, they're not being dicks about it. Like, I told them, and, like, here's the thing. Any of their other lasers, it's a different story.
Got it. Right?
Okay? But because it's a well-made laser, right? But this laser is real, real niche, right?
Yeah.
Niche. It's niche-y. So I told him straight up, I was like, look, I know I promised you all these videos. I'm like, but I'm not fucking posting shit. Okay. until I get this laser figured out. And unless you're going to give me instructions and like ways to use this laser, I'm like, it's going to sit on my workbench and I'm going to focus on the tools that I know how to use. Right. Yeah, yeah. And I go, and when I get around to it, I'll get around to it. This is just how it's going to be. And finally, after me telling them this, right, they sent me a document like 2 days ago and they're like, this should help. And they're like, we had to translate it from Chinese. And I was like, why did you not fucking translate this bullshit? Yeah. Like before you sold the laser.
Yeah.
Like fucking come on. You know? So like they're trying, I'll give it to them. They're trying, right? But like, I'm not gonna push shit to people that I'm not sad. And like their customer service, it leaves a lot to be desired. And they're working on it, right? But yeah. like I'm not in a rush to push that shit.
It's a Chinese company.
X Tool is totally different. Their support, I haven't had to hit them up too much. But like, there's so many people who have that laser.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That they're like I could watch 50 fucking YouTube videos about that thing, and I'll feel like I know what I should do.
Is Monoport a Chinese company, American company? Where are they from? Chinese?
They're somewhere in China. I know because I start getting emails from them at like 9 at night.
Yeah, so. That's always the tough part. That's why I was kind of what I was gonna get at is because I know Dave Miller talks about when he's working with the other laser companies that are over there. It's hard to deal with them, especially because the time difference, obviously, first off, but then the customer service isn't great, you know, in a lot of these companies yet.
Some of them,
you know what I mean? Some of them are good. Some of them aren't. And which is also amazing to me because it's like, you know, if, like you said, why not have a manual in English if you're going to be selling to American, you know, company or American makers and stuff like that? It's just
for people who speak English. You know, so like an example of a better Chinese company is Bamboo, right? So Bamboo, they came out and they made it as easy as possible, right?
Yeah.
But when shit goes sideways, which with every tool I've ever owned, there comes a point in time where it just decides to shit itself. Like so when I hit up Bamboo after my P1P shit itself, I had to fucking chat with some dude, right, about fixing my printer, but it was the same guy through the whole process. So I never once had to re-explain to this dude, like he was attached to my support ticket.
Yeah.
And the guy hung with me till the very end. It took a month longer than if he would have just gotten on the fucking phone with me. Like we could have been done in like an hour. Okay.
Yeah. But
like, we still got it done, which, like, I'll live with that, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Some of these
other motherfuckers. That's crazy. That's crazy, man. That's just crazy that the amount of time people spend on, like, you know, I hear from, other makers like Trevor and stuff. Like, he's always, like, having, you know, support issues or, I mean, not support issues, but, like, you know, things are going wrong with his tools and then the time he has to spend talking to people. Same with Dave Miller. You know, I hear that from him. You have the same story. The technology side of work, woodworking and stuff like that is interesting to me that way, right? Because like you could just get out there with your hand tools. You could get out there with your other tools and just make shit, right? And like,
yeah.
And you don't have the same like issues with technology and stuff, right? You just get out there and make it. But with these other tools that you use to make things and are supposed to be easier, make it easier on you to make them, sometimes you have these technology problems, right? So then it's just like slows down the process. I don't know. It's like a give and take, and it's just interesting, you know?
It is. But like the thing is that like the headaches that we're going through now are going to get less and less over time as these products advance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and to me, that's the exciting part. That's the kind of maker I like to be, right? I want my tools. I want to be the idea guy, right?
Yeah.
And I want my tools to just fucking make my ideas real, right?
Yeah. You want to be Tony Stark. You want to be Tony Stark. I get it. You
know? Exactly. I want to be like Jarvis. I got this stupid ass idea, right?
No, you want a Jarvis. You want a Jarvis. Dude, you want to be Tony. Dude. Yeah.
I do want to be Tony Stark. I want to be the Tony Stark of the maker community. I want to be able to walk in my shop and be like, hey, shop, I'm here. And it to be like, okay, Luke, what are we doing today? And I'd be like, look, I had this idea for this tambour style stash box. They'd be like, okay, let's do it. Right?
Yeah.
That would be them within a couple hours, boom, there's the fucking product.
That would be incredible. A fully automated, voice automated shop. Somebody's got to do that at some point, right? Like one of these big time, you know, makers guys, they got to have that, right? Where you have your computer that you talk to that then talks to your 3D printer, which then talks to your fucking CNC. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's got to be.
You could do it now. You could do it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Like all you would really need to do. Okay.
I mean, Siri could do it probably, or one of these Alexa.
You can't do it now. You can't do it now, but within the next 10 years for sure. Right. Because like you look at the shop, right? Okay. The CNC, right, could do all of the cutting primarily, right? So if wood came in the size that it would fit on that machine, I could get it to do everything I want it to do. And there's companies working on making automatic tool changers. So I don't even need to change the piece. I could just put it on there, and theoretically, like, the machine could eventually be able to figure out how to cut that piece up, right?
Yeah.
I could take that over to the other laser, right? And laser whatever I wanted to on it, right? I could send shit. It doesn't, like, it still requires me to fucking, like, put the stuff in and out of it, right?
Yeah,
I'm okay with that part of it, right?
Well, you don't have droids yet or those crazy arms that Tony has, you know, that move shit around the shop, you know?
But the droids are coming. The droids are, like, dude, everybody's working on making these droids right now.
Can you imagine?
Dude, Elon Musk just dropped his droid, dude. It looks just like a fucking, like those robots from iRobot. Remember that movie iRobot?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Dude, that's where we're going.
Scares me. Do you think, have you printed a 3D printed coffee mug yet?
That'd be a horrible idea. Why would I do that?
Why is that a horrible idea? The coffee would melt. The heat from the coffee would melt the cup?
It might, I don't know. How hot is coffee?
Well, I mean,
my fucking mouse is dead. Why is my mouse not working, man?
How hot is coffee? I mean, you boil the water. So ever, you know, like however hot boiling water is.
Hold on. Well, that's 212 degrees Fahrenheit, but I don't know what that is. It's Celsius. How hot is coffee Celsius?
Oh, because the plastic is
because I know the temperatures of what to melt plastic in Celsius. Okay, yeah. So coffee would be like 85 degrees, and the plastic that I use for 3D printing melts at 220 degrees. So yeah, you could, but you could only. I saw this great video the other day, and they were talking about why things that come off your printer aren't food safe.
Oh.
Because the plastic itself is food safe.
Got it.
The reason that something like a coffee mug or like a cup or a bowl would not be food safe is because it's printed in layers, right?
Yeah.
Even the best printer, there's still tiny little layers in between there, right? And bacteria can get stuck in there.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah. So
the first time you use a 3D printed mug to drink coffee out of, okay, you're fine. Don't worry about it. But the second you fucking try to clean that thing out and use it again in a week or a couple days, you're going to have bacteria issues. And the more you use it, the more it gets like that.
Got it. I was just curious because I was thinking that when you were talking about printing mini helmets earlier, my brain was going to coffee mugs. Like, how cool would that be to print, like, a coffee mug helmet? You know what I mean? Like,
I printed a coffee mug that held USB sticks and, SD cards for Lindsay.
That's right.
Yeah. But.
But you couldn't drink out of them. So.
No, it'd be a bad idea. Yeah. That'd be a bad idea. I like the idea, but it'd be a bad idea.
Yeah. So. I wonder if they'll ever get to that point. Because I always said, like, how cool would it be to have a 3D printer where you could be like, oh, I need a cup or a bowl or something and be able to, you know what I mean, be able to print them. I wonder if they'll ever get to that point where you can actually print food safe use items, you know what I mean, like forks. And
I think, I
mean,
so.
One time use, obviously, you could do it. You know what I mean? Like one time use, throwaway cups or throwaway forks and spoons and stuff like that. You know, you just said, but. Curious if they'll ever get to that point.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible, dude. I still think that like most homes are going to have a 3D printer in it at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Because,
because especially like this little one, right? This thing could easily print any replacement part for any toy, remote thing in your house. If the plastic part breaks on it, this thing could easily print a replacement part.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. In that aspect, like, I think it's such a cool tool, man. Such a cool tool,
dude. But this printer is so easy to use, right? That I'm gonna teach the kids how to 3D print with it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All they need to do is pick which model they want to print, make sure what color is in the right colors in the printer, and push one, like, two buttons, and it's printing.
Yeah, especially because it's all app-based now, right? So they can just do it straight from their iPads or tablets or whatever, as long as they have the software.
Yeah.
Anyways, the whole point of this conversation was just get just for me to get to the point to talk to you about the Millennium Falcon that you fucking printed for Dave, because that was fucking so cool. The video was
like 50,000 views in like one day, bro.
Dude, it was so cool.
Dude, he hit me up, man. This was so much fun, man. And like, we did a live last night. I don't know if you caught it or not.
I did. I watched it. I didn't watch it live. I went back and watched it because I had to see these things you told me about.
Did you like the logos?
Yeah, they were hilarious. You said you individually drew all those sperms, or did you just...
Well, no, I drew one and copy and pasted.
So did funny,
you,
yeah.
Did you like the dick one?
Yeah, that one was hilarious. Those was all three
Dave
of them.
And I had, Dave and I had fun this week, man. So he told me like a week ago, he's like, hey, man, I've been thinking about giving you access to my 3D printer, the big one. Yeah. And I was like, yes. Like, and he was like, well, you know, here's how I think it will work. And I was like, yes. He was like, and here's what I want to do. And he's like, I'm like, yes. So finally he did it like on Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I deep dove on what to print on his printer. Right. And like, the goal was for me. Okay. Cause he said, I'm going to put a fresh roll of filament in there, which is 1 kilogram of filament. Right. He goes, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what you print. He goes, just don't make it more than one roll of filament. I was like, okay, cool. And like, so like, I thought to myself, I was like, I don't want to print anything that he's going to have to go back later and post-process a lot of. Like, I don't want him to have to remove a lot of supports.
Yeah,
print. Like, I don't want him to have to, like, you know, do a lot. I don't want it to be annoying. I want him to pull it off the printer and be like, holy shit, right?
Yeah.
So I narrowed it down to a few different ones, okay? I know he listens to this podcast, so I can't say the alternative ones that I did not do, okay?
Okay, yeah, I understand that, because you might have the opportunity to do this again. Yeah,
he's listening right now, and I'm not giving it away to you, Dave.
Can I just start by saying I'm very proud of you that you didn't do some sort of, like, dick castle or something that was like... I mean, what was the percentage of like options that you really went through? I mean, how many options were there that had no dicks involved?
Okay,
without giving too much away, of course.
You're gonna say like the dick category, right? Where like it would include other lewd things that are like dicks, or inappropriate for like an 8-year-old, right?
Yeah, I figured his kids weren't going to see this.
There was a lot. There was a lot. Okay, and like, and I already know, what I would print next on his printer. I have a sick idea that if he said yes to it, it would be a multi-part print. So at some point, his wife would have to go on there and pull the parts off. Right? Okay. Right, because there would be a little bit of assembling, but I have an idea that is so fucking awesome. Right.
Anyways, get back. I was proud of you. Though.
It was down the last two, and I told him about the other one that I was gonna print, but I decided last minute just go Star Wars. I know he'll love it. I know his son will love it, and I know I will love it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went with the Falcon, which came out insane. If I would have known how the filament worked, I would have put it in there the right way. But I still think it looks cool how it came out. And but the alternative was, is I was going to print the biggest set of truck nuts I could print. Right? And the one, and when I put them on the print bed, right, and I angled it to be like the maximum size.
Yeah.
It was somewhere in the, it's hard to measure, right? But I think it would have been in the summer in the ballpark between 15 to 18 inches, right? Like gigantic, yeah. Right? Like a foot and a half, easy.
Blue balls. You
know? Oh, yeah. Like they were going to be multicolored fucking fantastical nuts, right?
Yeah, that, but that Millennium Falcon, that, what was the total, because it was hard to gauge it. I don't know if
you
said it.
So do you remember you remember the Millennium Falcon that was in the 70s, the Hasbro one?
Yeah, I had that one.
So I have one, right?
I know you do. Yeah, we've talked about
it's
it.
It's about
yeah.
a half inch smaller than that. The whole thing is like 20-something inches, dude. It's gigantic. Mm-hmm. The it was honestly the biggest limitation for his printer was the width of the round part, right?
Yeah.
Like that went edge to edge on that bitch. It was like 265% of what the original scale one is. And like they said no supports on it, and I didn't understand like how that was even going to be possible, but it came out awesome.
Yeah, it looked great. I mean, he just pulled it right off, and he was able. I mean, I assume he just glued it together, right? It's like,
whoop. Yeah. Well, actually, no, he didn't even glue it together. It came with these two little pegs that you stick in holes that line it up.
Oh.
And the fit was so good that he just pressed it together, and it's fine. He's like, I'll glue it later. But he was like, but he was showing me because, like, last night in the live, he was holding it and it fell apart in half, and I was like, whoa. He's like, oh yeah, I haven't glued it yet.
I must not have seen that part because I was kind of jumping through it to find your guys' logos.
His ones were great.
Yeah, no, the ones he picked were great. I love the last one you guys decided on. It's he aged you like a little bit with it, but it looks cool. You know what I mean? And I like the
age and rage. That's the way it is.
Yeah, I like the darkness of it. It's cool.
The darkness.
Yeah, no, man. Those that 3D printer, you know, world is pretty crazy, man. And
I honestly, at this point, like, if you really want to get into 3D printing and you're feeling that FOMO, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Just get the A1, the bamboo A1, without the multicolor, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll sell the multicolor as a separate thing at some point. I know it's either with or without it right now. Doing multicolor stuff is cool, right? But like, if you just want like to print shit, like stuff for your shop and like practical things, right? Any kind of like especially like you guys, like if you're gonna print like statues and stuff, like your family loves painting shit, right?
Yeah,
3D printed stuff is easy to paint, right? So like you just fucking print it and paint it, you know. It's too easy.
How quickly is like how long did it take to do that little boat thing? 19 minutes, you said?
Yeah, this is 19 minutes.
I just had an idea like when
which
you
is
said,
insane.
Yeah, I just had an idea like when you paint things, whatever. Like I don't know if that would make sense.
What
if you opened one of those, like if you could open one of those paint 3D, you know, those mug things where people go paint mugs and drink wine?
Yeah.
And stuff, like I was thinking, like, I don't know, maybe that's not a good idea. I was thinking like some sort of 3D printing because it's such a quick process. Like you go drink and you 3D print and you like, I don't know.
Well, okay. But here's the thing, right? Like if you opened up a shop like that where you're painting 3D printed stuff.
Yeah.
The variety of things that you could offer people would be insane, right?
Yeah.
You could just print two of every model, okay? And then you could say, here's the display one, here's the backup one. Somebody wants to take both of them, screw it, doesn't matter, right? Boom, I'll just print another one. You could print fucking masks. You could print fucking flopper pots. You could print, like, so much stuff that, like...
Yeah, I don't know. I, for some reason, I thought the experience of going and doing it, you know, because it's because it's not that long of it. You know, you could go there, you could, you know, it's like a, you know, maybe to introduce people to 3D printing. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
So do you get, you know, Morley Kurt, you know, that guy?
Yeah.
Dude, he was doing this thing, man, which was fucking so cool, where he was going around with his 3D printer and he was inviting people to fix their broken stuff for them, right? So people would show up and be like, hey, I got these headphones and the plastic part broke. And he would measure it real quick, model it real quick, and print it. And like, realistically, a lot of those pieces, those small plastic replacement part pieces,
yeah,
you could get done in about an hour. Between the designing and the printing, like, within an hour is realistic.
That's
like,
crazy.
And you could open up a shop where, like, you had a couple printers and you sat there with your computer and people rolled in and were like, hey, this broke, or this I lost, I had two of these, I need another one, right? Like Ellie, Jackie got this Pottery Barn desk for Ellie, right?
Yeah.
And it had these things that are called cam houses. They're like it's like a round piece with a hex nut screw in the middle, and you screw in one panel to the other, and then you tighten it with the hex nut on the top.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We've all used those. Yeah.
We've all used those. So we lost one, right? Okay. And I was like, give me enough time. Give me like a day. I could redesign that part in 3D. And print it. It's not going to be exactly the same. It's not going to have that hex nut screw thing. I'm like, but it will function the same way.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And she was like, you know, she's like, I don't know if I need it or not, but like, if she does need it, like, I could easily do that.
Yeah. No, it's so cool, man, to think about, like, you know, and think about like 10 years from now, you know, or even 5 years from now, probably, like, the way they're coming out so quickly.
Dude,
it's gonna be insane, like, what you can do with them, and like how easy it's gonna be, like, fuck going to Target or Walmart for a little such and such thing that I need. I'll just print it myself, you know what I mean? Dude, it's just crazy.
I spent an unhealthy amount of time, right, thinking about this type of shit, like, right now. Okay. I have my coffee mug here, right?
Yeah.
And part of the lid is cracked and broken right here. Right?
Yeah.
I could imagine there being a time where I could pull that piece off and take a picture of it from a couple different angles. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And having a program on my phone that would recreate that part exactly. And then I'll just show the part where I need it to be fixed. Right.
It would just be,
and you'd be done.
It would just be a 3D modeling type of thing, right? Like, that's all it would have to be, some sort of software where you take
a
photo.
They're already doing it with photographs with the generative AI shit.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know? To think about. Yeah. You'll be there quick, man. It'll be there quick. I guarantee it. But no, that's just crazy to think about. Anyways.
Look, the future is terrifying, you know?
It is. But it's also cool as shit, man. Like, I am terrified to think about AI and everything, right? We've talked about this. I am terrified about it. But it's also it's also the coolest time ever to live, right? I mean, like, it's pretty cool, man. Like, compared to what other people used to have to go through way back in the day, and the Oregon Trail and all that shit, and settlers, and I just listened to this history of the history of the you know, the American like, how our country was, like, I listened to a podcast with Joe Rogan, and he had this guy talking about all the Native Americans and how the shit that they went through when we came here and just fucking decimated the fucking whole population of fucking, like, California was, like, the worst, dude. Like, 90% of the population was, like, fucking decimated because of the gold rush and all that shit. Like, it was fucking crazy. But, like, what they used to, like, living back then would have been horrible compared to how it is today. I mean, just fucking miserable, man.
Dude, every time you take a shit, okay, and you go walk and you turn around and you push a button and your shit disappears, and it doesn't smell like shit in your room that you shit in, okay? Yeah. Like, realize that there was a point of time not that many generations ago where that was a totally different experience.
Bro, yeah. I mean,
dude, the outhouse was probably a technological upgrade from what they were doing before that.
they're shitting in a hole before. I mean, they were still shitting in a hole, but they decided to put a little seat above it. That's all. How long it took them to fucking from shitting in a hole to making the first toilet outhouse? Like,
dude, you know how much we take this shit for granted,
right? Yeah.
Like, dude, like think of the coffee that you're drinking right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are there any coffee grounds in that coffee?
No, because I have a filter.
Right.
That filters them out.
Right. You know, that was not always a thing, right? Yeah.
Used to chew your coffee back in the day.
Yeah, you had to fucking, it was like fucking, you needed to brush your teeth after you did because you had fucking coffee grounds in there, fucking, you know?
Oh, man.
That's what I'm always like when I see these woodworkers, they're like, I restored a 100-year-old block plane today. I'm like, why? Like, why would you do that? Like, like they sell new ones that are great. Like, they work easy.
Yeah. You know? I like old shit, though. You know what I mean? Like, I like it. I like
when people take old shit and they make it new.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's true. That's a nice, when they flip it and they, you know,
put
a new spin on it. Yeah.
Resto mod. Yes.
Resto mod. Yeah.
I'm no TJ Karate.
I don't need to find
old junk and bring it back to life.
I was going to say, speaking of putting a new spin on things, watch this segue. Talk to me about the Axe Bros. And do you have the axe in your possession?
I do have the axe in my possession.
When's the lube guy coming out?
Dude, so I have big plans for my axe. And like,
wait. Is that your axe you made?
No, that's an axe that Nick made for me.
Oh, this is a new axe.
Yeah, because he is in the process of coming up with a brand new way to make axe handles, right?
Yeah.
And he's really into the axe thing. So he's bought a bunch of fucking axe heads, right?
Got it.
And so this was like a test one. He's like, look, dude, you want it? He goes, just pay for the materials on it, you know? And so I'm going to try to laser onto the head of the axe, right?
Oh, with the monoport. Got it.
But I'm leaving the rust on it, right?
Oh, that'd be cool.
I want to laser design into the rust.
Ew.
Right? And then I'm going to take the handle, which is all skulls, and I think I'm going to dye it with red India ink.
That'll look thick. Yeah. That'll look really
and then cool. and then spray over it with like some kind of like poly or some shit.
Yeah, gloss it over.
And gloss it over. And make this thing into like a legit murder weapon.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw it.
It's exciting about that.
I've been watching his process or watching the process. Yeah, I was waiting for him. I keep waiting for him to bring it to you so I can see you lube that thing up.
Well, the funny thing is my wife is driving around with a full-size double-headed axe in the back of my truck in my car right now. She doesn't know there's a gigantic axe in the car.
Yeah.
So, surprise, honey.
Yeah.
Go open the back and be like, to put like, you know, something, you know, like a bag of something in there, and there's just going to be a huge fucking axe sitting there.
Huge skull axe.
Yes. So,
man, that's so cool though. That he's doing that. And then I saw the other one that he did with the titties on the handle, on the bottom of the handle. That's pretty sweet.
He says he's still working on it because every time he tries to make it, he goes, the titties look like dicks. So
he acquired
like a dozen fireman's axes where it's like pickaxe on one side axe on the other.
It's an all.
I told him, you need to make a handle that looks like flames, like 3D carved flames, right? Like, how badass would a fireman's axe be where the axe handle looked like flames?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture it in my head. Like, the whole handle is kind of like,
picture like flames shooting out from right underneath the axe head.
Oh, you're picturing it that way. Okay. I was picturing from the bottom, them going up the handle.
Like if you took the axe, right, and you put it down where you're holding the handle and the head of it's by your feet, it'd be like the head is on fire.
Got it. It's burning up this way. Oh, it would be dope is if you use your monoport to burn the axe head to look like a flame, and then it comes up the handle too. That would look pretty sick.
Right?
Yeah, real sick.
Dude, he, like him and I were talking. I'm like, dude, I'm like the few holes he has in the access to tools and like stuff. Like I could fill those holes. I could fill Nick's holes. I was right? gonna say,
you want to fill Nick's holes?
I do. I'm gonna stuff his hole shut. So, he's fun to work with, man. He's the most generous maker I've ever met in my whole life.
He seems like a nice guy.
He is. Plus, his beard is on point.
Yeah. Speaking of beards, I'm growing mine. After you and Dave gave me shit, I'm growing it.
Yeah,
it's coming in. It's coming in.
You mean you're gonna move away from your weekend in prison beard and move on to something like I spent the weekend in county beard?
My beard is like it's getting grayer, so I think you guys don't think it's as thick as it actually is. It's a little, you know, so it's a little harder to see. But it's there. It's just a lighter color. It's cool that you guys are getting into the axe game, though. It's pretty cool. I dig that. I think that's fun.
Yeah,
something new.
But him and I had this. We both were like looking at each other, and I'm like, so what are we going to do with all these axes?
Right? Sell them.
Well, like neither of us want to sell them. That's the thing. So like the idea that I had for if you make me that fucking fireman's axe. I'm going to make one of those break in a case of emergency.
Oh yeah.
Like boxes, like the, like in a building, but yeah, I want to laser onto the glass or the plexiglass right there. Like, if your current status is holy shit, open. Right.
Yeah.
So,
I could already see it right there on the wall behind you. I got
holy shit. Yeah. Also, I had this idea. I want to totally redo my office. So that's part of my plan. I am because I have another 3D printer coming, right?
You have another one coming?
I do, and it's gigantic.
Holy shit!
Yeah, bro. I will have enough 3D printers, and I will and I tried talking to the company into giving me free filament. I'm like, I want to print gigantic stuff. And like, one of the things I want to print is a Lego Batman that is as tall as my desk.
As in, it would have to be in multiple pieces, I guess. Then
yeah, it would have to be in multiple pieces. Two pieces. It would be, or like a Lego Darth Vader.
Would it serve a function other than just being as tall as your desk? Like, could you open that? Could the head open if it's like right next to your desk? Could the head open and you could have like nuts or like candy or something inside the head?
I could.
Reach in, grab your candy, fold the head back. And
you know what would be cool, right?
They serve a purpose.
Except I can make one of the Lego hands, right? As big as my coffee mug, right? And have like a bottom on it, right? Yeah, I can put my coffee in his hand, right?
I'm telling you, man, you put the coffee in his hand, you put something on the head where you pop it open, you got a little snack in there. I dig that. That'd be a perfect.
Look, I'm glad my wife doesn't listen to this podcast, right? Because I've always told her anytime a tool is coming to the house, right?
Yeah.
I've told her right up front, like, this is what's coming, right? And I've not mentioned this one yet because she has shot me down on every big print idea I've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, have you printed something for her yet? Have you shown her the benefits of this yet? Have you figured anything out yet?
I keep offering and she keeps saying no.
Yeah.
Like I gave her a turntable coffee mug. holder, coffee holder, coffee coaster thing that I made.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it currently is sitting in her office on a shelf with a plant on top of it.
Multifunction.
Sure. See?
You're an innovator, man. You're an innovator. Or she's the innovator.
I'm an influencer, that's for sure, dude. I am still cracking up about how many people have used my stretching content strategy.
I'm trying to do it now. You heard my two recent ones?
I sometimes I don't listen to your audio. I gotta listen.
I know.
But I'll go check them out. Dude, like, I've had so many people hit me up and they're like, stretching content is the greatest thing I've ever heard of. They're like, I don't have to put as much effort into this as I have been. Like, okay, cool. Like,
yeah. And if
you're trying to remind people keep fucking forgetting why they got in the shop in the first place.
Yeah. And recycling content has been something that I've been doing recently because I've been following Dave Miller's advice. I mean, things that you've posted 2 years ago, fucking just repost them. Who cares? Like, people, right? your whole new audience is, you know, they've never seen it before. Nobody's really scrolling back all the way to find your old videos to look at them. You know what I mean? Especially guys like who have been doing this for so long. You have so many goddamn videos. So fucking just repost. Repost, reshare.
Look, I've got, let's see, how many videos do I have? I have fucking almost 1,500 videos. Like, nobody's going to ever watch all that shit.
Nah.
You know?
Nah. I don't even watch all your shit.
Dude, unless I put it in my story, you don't see it. So
it's true. It's true.
You just you're a fuck the feed guy.
It's just too much, dude. Speaking of, I hit 900 posts yesterday. Woo-woo!
Nice job, bro.
Yeah, man. The one I posted, speaking of recycling, I just recycled one a couple of days ago. It was one that had 500 or 5 million views on it, from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I reposted it a couple of days ago. It's already up to 137,000. So, I mean, like, if it the one where I'm cutting out the... your 28 degree board on my bandsaw. It's just a real smooth cut video. You know what I mean? Like the way it edited it. And people really like it.
You could have fucking put me on there as a collaborator, motherfucker. I would have loved to have a video that had that many views.
I've not posted
a video that has had over 100,000 views in a while.
Well, I'll tag you in it. Yeah, man. Recycle, reuse, recycle. What's that fucking saying? Whatever.
Reduce.
I don't know about reducing. Reuse and recycle, man. Just redo your fucking videos. It don't matter. People want to see the content. So,
Reduce your effort.
There you go. Reduce your effort. Reuse the video and recycle those fucking motherfucking views, man. Get those things going again.
You know, look, I don't think people should be stressing out about that stuff.
No, I'm just saying that's an easy way to fill your week of content. And Dave Miller is like fucking banging my head against the wall with it because I haven't been posting. And so he challenged me this week to post every day until the end of the year to try and get my numbers up. Because I'm sitting here watching, he hit 100K and I'm like, motherfucker, you're no more talented than I am. I told him that.
It's true. I mean, look, I'm totally joking,
by the way.
Has figured it out, though, right? Dave is willing to do what I'm not willing to do.
Yeah.
And as a result, his success is undeniable.
Undeniable.
And I'm not a hater. I am very happy for him. You know?
Yeah.
I look. I'm not interested in growing my account. I love the followers I got, right? I don't think that another 50,000 followers is going to change my life in any significant way, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm here for the people that showed up already, right? Here for the people that, like, if someone shows up tomorrow, cool. You're welcome to join the party. But, like, the people that are here are the ones I care about.
I just feel like I feel like the tool companies have moved the, like, I want to continue to work with brands, right? And I want to grow that part of my game or whatever you want to call it, my brand or whatever. I want to work with more brands. I want to work with these bigger companies, right? Bigger tool companies and stuff. And so like, I feel like my numbers, I keep reaching out to these bigger companies and I keep getting kind of rebuffed, and it's kind of mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, you're not quite there. You know, your numbers, we'd like to see a little more of this, or we'd like to, you know what I mean? So like, I feel like I want to get my numbers up. That's why I'm talking about it or even concerned about it. But I feel like the tool companies have moved the fucking line a little bit. It used to be 10K was like the line, right? Where you would, you know, yeah. you hit 10K, you used to get that little link, remember back in the day? Yeah. And like, it would give you the opportunity to then, you know, these companies would be like, oh, you hit 10K. Now I can work with you because you can now help promote our company more. Now I yeah. feel like that they've kind of pushed the line back even farther. Right. And it's like, so I don't know. That's the whole point. The point
I don't feel that way. Right.
No, you don't think so?
No, I think that they've changed how the people they want to look at. Right.
Okay.
I don't think that they would say no to like, there's a couple different kinds of, there's a couple different kinds. Like,
companies, tread lightly here, bro. It sounds like you're about to say, I'm not good at this shit.
Okay. Let me rephrase how I was going to say that. Let me put this into a way that you might not get personally offended over. Let me hear it.
I'm serious. I want to hear you. I want to hear your opinion. I'm just busting.
I have been a salesperson my whole life.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've spent my entire existence trying to talk people into shit. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I do for a living. Right? And my niche is talking people into marketing stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And marketing stuff is all about your ideas, right? Like when these companies put out a product that they want to put into makers' hands, once they get through the round one of all the YouTubers, right?
Yeah.
They saturate that market, and there's no advantage for them to keep dumping more into them. They need to get out of this space. And when you do that, the pool of your available people expands exponentially, right?
Right.
The difference between somebody who has 5,000 followers and 20,000 followers is nothing to them, right? So they're like, look, if I'm going to work with somebody that has a small following, right, you better have a big idea, right?
Mm.
And, like, that's what I try to tell people. I'm like, if you're going to look, if you want to work with a company, the first step is to ask them and talk to them, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, show them that you're easy to work with. And that doesn't mean bend over and take all their bullshit. And if you fucking are out there taking an affiliate deal in lieu of making money or getting what you want, you're fucking over the next guy. These affiliate deals, dude, they are bad for makers, right?
Mm.
I have a couple. Uh-oh. Something just fell off my desk. I hope it's not screwed. My whole desk falls over.
Affiliate deals.
Deals are horrible, right?
Yeah.
Because like, if you're taking an affiliate deal and you think that this is cool because you're like in the inside on the company, right? Ooh, they put me a part of their affiliate program, right?
Yeah.
In reality, what the company is saying is that, hey, if you make videos and people use your code to buy shit, I'll pay you back, right? I'll pay you a commission.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, cool. I think my videos are worth $1,000 each, right? Okay?
Baller.
It's baller. And I might put out 300 new videos a year, okay?
Right.
To me, that's $300,000 worth of videos I'm putting out there, right? So when a company comes up to me and says, hey, Luke, we want you to do 8 videos for this tool, right? I'm like, okay, well, that's like worth $8,000 to me, right? My time is worth $8,000. Your tool is worth $2,000. Like, let's talk about how you're going to offset that, right?
Yeah.
And like, if it's something that I really want, like, you know, that Harvey bandsaw was something I really wanted, right? Yeah. I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna easily make 8 videos. No problem. But if they say, hey, we want to put you in the affiliate marketing program, right? And every time you sell one of these saws, you're gonna get 5% or 10%, right?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, so like if it's 10% on a $2,000 saw, that's $200. That's cool, right? But if I make fucking 4 videos to sell one saw, right?
Yeah.
I've made $4,000 of stuff for $200. Right?
Is your value like the value you value yourself at, right? Like you say $1,000. Is that something that you can like, you know, back up to these companies? Like as far as like, what if they don't value your stuff at $8,000?
That's their
right?
problem.
Like, that's their problem.
That's their problem.
You don't want, what if you want to really, really, really want to work with this company, right? And they're still giving you the runaround or whatever you want to call it. Like they're like not giving you, I mean, are you willing to just cut bait and just fucking move on? Or do you adjust them, your...
I tell them I'm making a special exception for them because I really want their product.
Got it.
The money that I put into promoting Bamboo Labs versus what I've got from them is completely out of whack.
Right? Oh, yeah. You talk about them constantly.
Right? Onefinity, my favorite partner to work with. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I fucking love Onefinity. Right? Like, me and I have a great relationship with them. Like, we fucking are buddies. Right? But in reality, the amount of videos that and stuff I've done with my 150 for them compared to what they've given me, yeah. I think that they've won on that deal.
Right? Yeah. Even though you have the top of the line CNC, you have the upgrade kit, you have the, you know, all the stuff that you've gotten from them, you still think they've come out ahead in the deal.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Absolutely. I mean, see, that to me, this is like hearing you talk about this. I mean, I don't know, you know, this is going to help other makers out there and, you know, non-makers, you know, whatever, take it for what it is and learn from it. This is a good lesson to teach people out there. You know what I mean? Like the willingness I guess I got to go back to like, it reminds me of what Lizzie was saying on the podcast, the podcast we mentioned, yeah, only in, bad ways now, I guess, but
Mayo and the Squirrel, Mayo and the Golden Retriever. Is that it? The Polish Retriever.
All right. Slow down. All I'm saying is that
podcast sucks.
Stop it. but Lizzie was saying,
they suck.
Yeah, yeah. Lizzie was saying on their podcast, just have the audacity to ask for stuff. You know what I mean? Having the audacity. And that's what I'm kind of getting from you too, right? Like knowing your worth or having the self, you know, realization that you're worth this much and being willing to stick to your guns and just ask for it, I guess, you know?
Dude, that is a general life thing that people need to understand is their worth.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because I have more followers than you does not make me a better, more important person than you.
Well, that's for sure.
I'm right. Right. But why don't you have that same fucking thought when it comes to sponsors?
It's not that I don't. It's just I feel like I've been rebuffed so many times from these bigger sponsors that like it's maybe it's just my lack of good ideas. I don't know. Maybe I need to come up with some better ideas and come at them with better ideas. Is what I'm taking from you today.
Dude, I look, when people tell me no and it's something that I want a yes on, I never believe that answer. I'm like, I just have not put the words together in the right order, right? And if they're still talking to me, okay, that means they're waiting for me to put the words in the right order. They want me to figure this shit out.
That makes sense.
Know my worth, okay? I know my value, okay? And I'm not, and if anybody's going to discount that, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if, look, I want to drop my pants for something, fucking hey-o, right? Like, like this other 3D printer I have coming, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, could you do 3 videos for us? I was like, yes. Because I want a gigantic 3D printer.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I'm going to do some stupid ass shit with this gigantic 3D printer. And like, you want me to tag you in there and you want to enable me? Yeah, let's go. Like, I am never going to be exclusive with 3D printer companies, right? There's too many of them.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
CNCs, you know, like I've had other companies like, hey, would you like to try our CNC? I'm like, where the fuck would I even put that thing? You know? Can you pay to make my garage bigger? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd be interested then.
Does your CNC build garages?
Yeah, like I would love to be able to work with somebody like Harvey on their big table saw. But like, where the fuck would I put that thing?
Yeah, yeah, you have no room for that.
I got no room for that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, man, that's cool. That's cool.
But people got to understand. People got to understand that if, you know, if there's a company out there that's saying, well, based off of your numbers alone, that you're not working with, that's not a good company to work with. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're saying no to you for another reason, then you need to fucking figure out how to make that a yes. If you really want to work with them, you go and do it. Right? But yeah, when you take an affiliate deal, okay, and you're like, yeah, I'll do all this shit for free, and it's some fucking company you don't care about, right? Like, you're doing a disservice to other makers. Because you said yes, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's not a good deal, dude. And that's why, like, the companies that I work with, okay, they have to have very specific criteria for me to work with them long term. That's why Total Boat's on this list, Surf Prep's on this list, right? Bumble Shoots, who never fucking pays me, okay, is on this list, okay? Yeah. Onefinity is top of that list, okay? Bamboo Labs is on that list. Like, all these companies have certain things in common, okay? They make a product that it makes me excited and inspires me to do shit, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
They are cool fucking people to work with, right? And if I said, go deal with them, right, this company, I know that that person is going to have a good experience. I know 100%, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I say no to most of the people who approach me now. Is because I'm like, dude, I get another epoxy company hit me up like once a month.
That's crazy.
We'll send you everything you could ever dream of epoxy-wise. And I'm like, no. No. They're like, well, what about this? Like fucking Starbond, right? I dig Starbond. I think that they got good glues and shit. Right?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, let's talk epoxy. I'm like, no. No. I just the Total Boat people are too good of people.
Right? As he's wearing a Total Boat shirt right now. Jeez, you're such a fucking homer.
They fucking give merch to my daughter. Like Ellie thinks she's fucking sponsored by Total Boat. I tell her all the time. I'm like, sweetie, you do not have a deal. I have the deal. You're just a beneficiary of my deal.
So funny.
Yeah.
These kids think they get all the free swag. My kids do. They got Surf Prep shirts. They got Bumble Shoot stuff.
Yeah.
They think it's just so cool though. I had a cool moment this week, actually. I was with Frankie in the car and I was listening. It was Saturday. It was last Saturday. I had just gotten home from work, the USC football game, and I was driving. We went to go get food, me and him, to, you know, pick up dinner for the family. And I turned the game on because it was like in the third quarter because I do the pregame show. But so like by the time I get home, it's like the second quarter ish. And then I usually, you know, watch the rest of the game if I can, if not busy. But we were listening to it in the car, and I was like, telling Frankie, I was like, so this is dad's work, you know, like listening, like he's like, what are we listening to? I'm like, the USC game. I'm like, I was just there, you know, doing the pregame radio show. And he was like, what? And I explained to him how, like, this is like, I know these people, and this is like what I do. Like, I get radio. And he was tripping out, man. He was like, it's because, you know, he's eight now. So he's kind of, you know, things like this kind of make more sense to him. You know, back in the day when I was talking to him about what I did for a living, like they didn't really get it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you do radio. But like I was kind of explaining it to him, and it like kicked into his head that like dad does something cool like that. You know what I mean? Like it's just neat, you know? So I just thought it was cool.
That is cool, man.
Well,
Is Frankie like getting a little bit like Ellie is like borderline out of control, right? but like Bubs has been like sweet and kind and nice and loving, right?
Yeah.
But like, but some of Bubs, like, I don't know, preteen personality is starting to come out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, and Frankie's still a sweet kid, but he's starting to change a little bit. Penny's definitely at that age. She's 10, so she's, you know, you have a daughter right there. She's,
yeah,
the little attitudes showing up, the little, you know, talking back a little bit more than she used to, things like that. She's feeling herself.
Dude, Bubs is, man, this week, I've like double-taked him at least two or three times. One time this week, like Jackie goes, take a look at Bub's homework, right?
Yeah.
And in his homework, there was a whole page, right, that was printed out, and it was all about people who chase storms, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay? Trace tornadoes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm looking at it, she goes, look at the top. Bub's wrote right across the top in big letters, oh, hell no. And she looked at me, she's like, what the fuck is this? Like, why is he writing oh hell no on here? I'm like, I probably say that to him all the time.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. That sounds exactly
like, oh,
like you.
No. Like, yeah, he's like, Dad, you want to do this? I'm like, oh hell no. Fuck that. Mm-mm. We're done. Yeah. Not that ain't gonna happen. So he saw that storm chaser thing, like people chase tornadoes. He's like, oh hell no. Nope. Like, bro.
Like, we do rub off on him sometimes, you know what I mean?
And then yeah, so like it is funny, like so Ellie goes to Jackie with anything about her feelings or emotions or girl stuff. She goes right to Jackie, right? She never talks to me about that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you know, I get very little of that, you know. So but I realize that Bubs is starting to come to me with stuff, right? And I'm sitting there, and I had told him, okay, here's the website that we go to find 3D printing models. So you could start picking out models that you might want to try to print, and I'll show you how to print them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is what I told him. So I was working yesterday. I'm on a conference call, okay? It's fucking 9:30 in the morning. And I'm talking to it. It's not with a client. It's with a sales manager and the managing director of our company. And it's me. And we're all on video call. And Bubs comes up behind me. And he starts whispering in my ear. Right?
Yeah.
And so I mute the screen. And I lean in. I'm like, what'd you say, buddy? He's like, Dad. I'm like, what, man? He's like, Dad. I'm like, they're on mute. You don't have to whisper. He goes,
yeah.
Where do I find the boobs?
Shut up.
And I like look at him. I'm like, look, man, I'm on a work conference call. Okay. First of all, you're not going to find them on that website. Second of all, this is not the time for that conversation. Do you see these people? Have you met these people before? He's like, no. I go, that's because I work with them.
Yeah.
Just work it. You got to go. He was like, okay. And he leaves, you know, and I'm like, oh my fucking God. So then I get out of the call and I go talk to Jackie, who's working at home. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, Bub just came up and he's like, where do I find the boobs? She goes, why did he ask for that? I was like, I don't know. I was like, he's seen boob stuff a lot, right? And I realized that I had sitting on the desk in my office, you know, like those thumb book holder opener things, right? It looks like kind of like a bat shape. You put your thumb in it when you're reading a book to hold the pages open, right?
Yeah.
Well, Nick Berchtold made a set of those and it had boobs on them, right?
Oh my gosh.
And he was looking at him. He's like, I know what those are, Dad. And I was like, yeah, man. He goes, they're boobs. I'm like, yes, they're boobs. And he's like, so where do I find the boobs? You know, I'm like, you know, so I tell Jackie, she's like, we need to get to the bottom. We need to figure this out. I'm like, no, we don't. No, we don't. I'm like, we don't. Like this is boy shit. He's figuring his world out, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is there to figure out?
Titties, and there's titties in this world, okay? So, yeah, like, let him go at his own pace. We're not going to fuck with him on this. I'm not going to interrogate him over some titties, okay? Like, Like, we're just gonna we're gonna let it go. We don't have to deep dive emotionally to find the root cause of every single thing these kids say. I'm like, with some of the shit my daughter says, you absolutely have to do that, right? You 100%, right?
Yeah.
So like we got into some fucking uncomfortable shit at school, and if my mom's listening to this right now, no, I'm not gonna tell you later. Don't worry about it. Right. But like, it got fucking weird. There's repercussions from this show for me. I don't know. You get people talking about like, oh, I heard the show was funny shit. I get like fucking my mom hit me up and be like, so let's talk about what you talked about.
No, I understand that. I understand.
But like you got deep dive some shit, but like bubs and them titties. No, let that go.
But yeah, I mean, it's not hard to get to the bottom of you know, he's a boy. He's at that age where things are starting to, you know, be interesting and different and very simple.
Yeah. I mean, just wait. Like, you're like fucking probably like, I don't know, like 3, 5, 6 years away from like socks that are so hard that they're like a piece of fucking plastic. You know,
I mean, dude, who doesn't like boobs? Let's be honest. I mean, they're boobs. Like, it's
everybody likes boobs.
Yeah. I mean, especially your kid's not going to know what boobs are. You got your, one of your best buddies is Titty Nick. I mean,
yeah.
It's all in the name. Look at us doing an episode where we actually talk about real shit. Like, you know, I feel like we just copied another Woodshop podcast. We did a whole 3D printing episode. That was my whole goal, by the way. Well, who did it better? 3D printing episode. Who did it better?
Us or another Woodshop podcast?
They just had 3D. They just had Dave on last week. 3D, your boy.
You know, we can have Dave on next week. And you know what? We're not going to talk about 3D printing. We talk about real life shit on this podcast. We don't sit there, you know, and talk about, you know, this is this real shit that's going on.
We actually talked about real shit.
This is why we are the best podcast of 2023 and the front runner for 2024 already.
Yeah. Podcast of the year. Back to back, baby. Back to back.
Another Woodshop podcast. Get that? No. Nothing to
They did shout us out on their podcast again. And I almost texted them again during the Dave episode. Cause they brought you up, of course, cause they talked, you know, Dave brought, I was listening and I was like, at some point Dave's going to bring Luke up. Cause there's no way he can go a whole episode of something and not talk about you. You know what I mean? So like somewhere, at some point your name's going to come up. And when that happens, these guys are going to have something to say about our podcast. And sure enough, it happened, and they did, and it was pretty funny.
But, yeah, their podcast is predictable, so. I keep getting Jason Sullivan hitting me up, too. He's like, what shit did you start?
I know.
He's like really concerned that there's this, like, hardcore, like, podcast beef. And, like, poor Jason, right? I never answer him seriously when he messages me, right? And I divert the answers to the questions that he asks me, right? Like, I change the subject. I give him obscure answers. I'm rarely helpful to him, right?
Yeah.
And he hits me up, and I can tell he's half joking and he's half serious. And he's like, what the fuck did you do to get this podcast to beef with you? And I'm like, look, you remember all those rapper beefs, right? Growing up, where like two rappers would like fight and they'd make songs about each other, right? And like, and really, like, those guys are fucking just drinking with each other and don't give a fuck about that shit, right? But in their songs, they're like, I'm gonna fucking kill you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that shit was great for those guys. Like, and like, we need to apply that logic to the podcast. So we need to tear down a far more successful podcast. That's why Mayo and the Polish Retriever are the perfect target. That would be their morning show radio host names, though. Mayo and the Polish Retriever. So.
Mayo. It's so true, though. Like, it's I'm not surprised that there probably has been a Mayo and something. There's always the weird radio names are the funniest, man.
Dude, when do you think the last time Daniel Dunlap has run out of mayonnaise?
Oh, never. You know.
Right?
Never. Come on. That's like Dave Miller running out of hot honey. That's just never going to happen.
Fucking Dave Miller. Yes.
Before we get out of here, are you still following Keith Lee?
Yeah, of course. Dude, yeah. he lit Atlanta on fire.
Yes, that's what I wanted to talk about, dude. That was crazy. I was like tripping out on that story that he, you know, people thought he was, you know, talking trash or something to the restaurant because they wouldn't let him in, but it turns out that he was negotiating the terms to get somebody else a table that was supposed to be his, and I don't know, but it's just crazy to me that his food posts just do so well, or do so much for these little restaurants.
Dude, he posted yesterday or the day before, and it was like, I want to update you on this. He goes, this is the TikTok page for this restaurant before I visited, and it was like 600 followers, and now it's got like 63,000.
Yeah,
changing people's lives.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing. I mean, he shows up.
He started a chicken war in Chicago.
He started a chicken war?
Yeah, bro. Like he was hitting up chicken shacks in Chicago, and like every chicken shack was like, "We need to fucking take it up to a level 11 in case Keith Lee shows up here." And they were fucking cranking, right? All of them, right? They were after it.
That's awesome. I mean, it's like motivating. He's like motivating a whole culture of like these little restaurants to do better, right? Because they want him to show up and make their stuff pop off. It's crazy.
Yeah, he was always like, we're going to talk about their marketing, their food, and their customer service.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And like, but he went to Atlanta and dude, that one place, man, has like only made things worse for themselves. The one, the milk and honey place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Like, people were like sending death threats to their fucking staff. It's just like, that's fucking hardcore.
Yeah. And he's like, don't, please don't do that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so genuine and authentic and nice. And like these fucking idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. That one at the very end of the video, that one lady was like, she was so pumped that he showed up at their restaurant. Cause like, I guess they were, that might've been that same TikTok one that you were talking about. Cause yeah, they blew up right after he showed up. Yeah. And she was so pumped about it. It is kind of like, I imagine it was like, when Gordon Ramsay came on the scene, cause he did that a lot for his restaurant, that show that he did Kitchen Nightmares or whatever it was, like people would
I bet you he's bigger than Gordon Ramsay right now.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
On TikTok?
I guarantee he probably.
Let me see. Oh, hey, shit.
I don't know. Gordon Ramsay's fucking pretty big. I don't know.
But Gordon Ramsay. Hold on. All right. Oh yeah, never mind. Gordon Ramsay has 39 million followers.
Yeah, he's a
Keith Lee has 15 million followers.
Well, and think about that too. I mean, how long has Gordon Ramsay been doing this for fucking ever, right? Keith Lee's only been doing this since what, COVID-ish time? He just started doing that stuff. Yeah, just crazy, man. Fucking some of that food looked really good too that he was showing.
You know, look, it just shows you that there are positive people out there. So
yeah, for sure.
If you guys are itches, like, dude, just fucking go back to Keith Lee's Atlanta videos and like the amount of other people who posted videos about that shit. Oh boy.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. All right, I'm getting hungry, man. Let's get out of here. Let's just wrap this thing up.
Fine.
Unless you got something else to talk about, you got more to talk about. Let's talk about it.
How long is this podcast already?
118. Hour 18.
You know what? Okay, I got quick story.
All right.
Story.
Yeah.
Because it's on my shit list, and it's one of those things that I put on my shit list that if I don't get to it today, then by the time get to it, the enthusiasm will have died.
Yeah. Okay.
So for work, we went up to the UP in Michigan, right?
Oh yeah, the Upper Peninsula. Okay. For the people who don't know.
Yes, the Upper Peninsula. which I've never been that far north in Wisconsin before where it turns back into Michigan. But like, you don't understand how lucky the people that far up there north are that's Michigan and not Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry to people like Jeff from Two Moose, but Wisconsin has like two or three things that it offers that are great, and the rest of it sucks. Okay. Generally speaking, Wisconsin could go eat a dick. Okay.
I spent one night in Lodi, Wisconsin once. I'll tell you that story some other time.
Okay. Your night in Lodi. we drove through Green Bay. Okay. Green Bay sucks. Dude, Green Bay is like a truck stop. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, we go up to the UP, right? And like, as we're going that far north, man, it like the upper parts of Wisconsin. And when you get into Michigan, right? I don't understand why every horror film and TV show is not filmed right there. Right. It looks like you're going to get murdered or get kidnapped or kidnapped and then murdered. Right. It's gloomy. It's makes you uneasy. Like anywhere you stop, you're very fucking nervous. Right. So we went through there. Right. And it was, we had a good time. But the whole time we're driving up there, okay,
we had a good time.
My buddy, he's driving his Jetta GTI, right? Small little four-door hatchback thing, right?
Yeah.
The whole time we're driving up there, it's daylight. He's like, man, I really hope we don't see any moose or deer when we're up here. I'm like, why are you so nervous about this? Like, whole time, said it a half dozen times, right?
Yeah.
Really hope. And like, he's like, this is the kind of area where we would definitely see some moose. And for sure, we'll see some deer, right? Whole time there, we're like, nothing, right? So he speaks at Michigan Tech University, right? Which Michigan Tech University is a weird college, okay?
Yeah.
It's a great school, but it's weird looking. So his speech ends at like 7 o'clock at night. So if we decide that instead of staying there and driving 8 hours in the morning to get home, 7 hours, that we're going to break the trip up, drive 3 hours to Green Bay. Right. And then the other 4 hours home after that, the next day. Right.
Yeah.
Says, man, dude, I really hope we don't run into any deer. Right. We are 20 minutes into this trip. I was getting high on the college campus. Like the responsible adult that I am. Okay. I'm high in the car. We're riding. I'm seats back just a little bit. Right. I'm thinking about the fucking pecan pie slice I got sitting behind my seat, you know, just enjoying myself. And all of a sudden he's going like fucking 85 down this dark road where it's woods on both sides. It's two fucking lanes.
Yeah.
And like something happens, maybe someone will find you in the morning. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. 20 minutes into this ride, he slams on the brakes. He doesn't lock them up. And he's a race. His hobby used to be racing cars. Right. So he knows how to drive a fucking car.
Yeah.
He slams on the brakes, but he doesn't lock them up. Then I look up and there's a deer right in front of the car. Right. Holy shit. Then he slams the wheel to the left. And a second deer shows up out of nowhere, okay?
Oh, shit.
And this deer was so close to us, right, that it could have Dukes of Hazzard slid across the front of the car, right? So close to us that I could see this deer's back door, right? And it was so tight from its nervousness, okay, that it almost looked like the deer had no back butthole at all, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that's how fucking scared this deer was. And it shimmy stepped, right? And then fucking jumped away, and we fucking barely missed this thing, dude. Like if I would have fucking, if the car was stopped and I would have sat on the hood of the car, I could have reached forward and got both my hands on this deer. Dude, it was fucking right there. I was so fucking uncomfortable after that, dude. Like, for the next, and then we had to drive like fucking 2 hours and 40 minutes on this same road to get to Green Bay. And the whole time, I'm like, oh, man, are we going to see another deer? Are we going to see another deer?
Jesus.
And every 20 or so minutes, okay, we'd either see a dead deer on the side of the road, okay, or what used to be a deer, but it had exploded blood all over the road. Like, we're talking like a semi truck hits a deer and all of its insides become its outsides. We're talking lane to lane, full painted red with blood for like 10 to 20 feet, splattered everywhere. And it was every 20 minutes or so. And it was fresh, like chunks of deer guts are sitting there. And the whole ride is like this. And he's going fucking like 90 down this road. And I'm just fucking hitting my pen like every 5 minutes. Right. I'm like, I can't get high enough to relax from this experience. This is why people ask me, do you ever get high before you go on airplanes? No, for the same fucking reason. I'm like, I'm just so nervous that my buzz won't kick in. I will kick in. I'm gonna die today. Like, that was the whole fucking ride, dude.
Jesus, man.
It was intense.
I've been there in Michigan where we were driving at night and fucking deer jumped in front of the cars when I was back there visiting family. And that's fucking scary shit, man. Those things come out of nowhere.
Dude, we saw a couple of those deer explosions that were so crazy, right? That, like, we were talking about it. Like, what circumstances need to happen where a deer explodes on the highway? Right? How big of a vehicle, how fast it's got to go, be going, and how straight on does it have to hit that thing?
Pretty much dead center at a high speed with a big ass truck. That's the thing, is also like, do you think these truckers keep track? Like, I feel like I'd have a little like counter in my truck, like how many deer I've fucking hit as I was driving.
He was telling me that he's like if a semi hits a deer, he's like, they're not even going to slow down, or they're just like, oh, well, just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Explodes, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They must just be like
logging trucks on this road.
Logging trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, big ass trucks with big ass loads. That deer's an afterthought. Huge
load, blasting a deer.
The deer's an afterthought at that point, though. You know what I mean? Like to a normal car, a deer would fuck up the car, but a big ass logging truck, that deer's an afterthought. That thing's fucking,
dude. Like every one of these had been either that day or like the day before. Like, it was, and there's just so many of them, dude.
That's crazy.
It was like fucking Deer Murder Row. Like, oh my God.
Like, right, I'm going to tell you this story real quick before, because I'll never come back to it, but it was, you know, my one time.
That's the state motto for Wisconsin tourism.
Let me tell you, so, because I'll never be back here again.
Yeah, I'm never coming back.
When I was in, I had just gotten out of boot camp and I was in Great Lakes, right? And one of the guys I was in my A school with, my firefighting school, was from Lodi, Wisconsin, right? And I had never heard of it. I've never been to like a small town, maybe I had thought I'd been to a small town before and like spent time in one, but before this, I had never been in something this before. He was like, my parents own like a campground type of thing, right? And we can like hang out for the weekend. So we get there and he goes, let's go out and do something tonight. Let's go to the local bowling alley. And we were like, cool, let's go to the bowling alley. So we go to the bowling alley. This is like a small town, like one stoplight, or like, you know what I mean, like one bowling alley, one, you know, this one of those, it's like one of those towns. And I show up and like we go on there and it's him, me, our buddy, and like 15 kids who he grew up with, I guess, that hang out at this bowling alley. And two of the guys start getting in like an argument. And they get pushed outside. All right, take it outside, kind of thing. We all go out there. We all go out there with them, and they like start arguing back and forth. And then all of a sudden, like a cop shows up, and the cop shows up. Like, he gets out of the car, dude. No bullshit. He knows the guys. He's like, Billy Bob and Jimmy, knock it off. You know. Like, I'd never been in like a small town like that, man, where like the cop knows everybody.
Oh, dude, like up and out those types of the country, right, or out in rural areas, those are the areas where you are on your own. Like if you've got a problem, you have to solve that shit on your own.
It was literally like they have one cop. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, man, there's like one cop who, like, you know, or you know what I mean? Like a handful or something. But it was just like, it was such a small town that the cop knew the people fighting at the bowling alley. I don't know.
I mean, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's a strange little town. Anyways, all right. Let's get out of here, man. Let's get out of here.
It's an hour and a half, man. You would think that we didn't do a podcast last week.
When I'm telling stupid little stories like that, it's time to go.
Hold up. I think we have What's a on? New Patreon.
Wait, somebody else joined this fucking nightmare?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Oh,
okay. I think we have another one. Okay. The list gets longer.
All right.
All right. Thank you to our patrons. In the order, we always say the order of the patrons in the order that they became a patron. It's interesting when we get a new Patreon, it makes me the second newest patron. It always lists me, but my current tier is freeloader. So, yeah. So, thank you to our beautiful patrons who really get nothing other than our extra amount of our personality. Kyle Foote for the Footwork Woodworks. Matthew Girard from the Wooden Moustache, now giving free rides. And this is his month, by the way, Movember.
Yeah, it is.
Lee Oman from Regal Street. Big Mike Holmes from the Broken Land Woodworks. Dave One Grit Wirt from the Rustic Joy Woodworks. Dave, you need to get more involved in the conversation, bro. Yeah. My mom, Lee Skelman. Tim from Turgworks, the voice behind the podcast, still doesn't realize how to cancel his sponsorship. Dave the Thriller Miller, he's got a beard like a bunch of splattered deer guts on the highway. Billy Essis from the Simple Wood Woodco. Corey Stanley from Odyssey CNC. The unofficial lube of the podcast, Eric from Bumble Shoots.
Now in Rockler's newest catalog.
Woo! Yeah. You want to see a lubed up centerfold in the Rockler category? Flip to the Bumble Shoots page.
That's right.
He's just one of those guys that, man, like, I don't want anything from him. Occasionally some lube, maybe, but like, I just want to see him be successful. You know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
He told me the crazy. Did I tell you the fucking story about how he became a pilot at fucking JetBlue? Dude,
I don't know
what happened to him at his previous job.
No, I don't think I've heard this story.
Dude, maybe we need to get him on just to talk about this story. It's fucking crazy.
That's it. We'll bring him on next.
Yeah, but he can't. But the one rule is he can't promote his lube. Okay. no, he just come on. He could say he's from Bumble Shoots, but that's it. Because he's got fucking stories, bro. He's like one of those guys that's like seen some shit. Right, but just doesn't talk to it because it gives him PTSD, right?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Alan from Ormworks, the Collingwood Canoe Company, still not building canoes. Dad from Dad Crafting. Dude, that's what his shirts need to say now. Dad from Dad Crafted. Ryder from Ryder's Custom Creations. Jason Sullivan, J.M. Sullivan Toolworks and Tool Bags. Kamani from Van Stray Designs. The fine folks at P.L. Smith. They're about to expand their empire. Otis from My Woodworking Name is Too Long. Pine and Elite Woodworks. He's got the energy of a deer that's about to get hit by a Jedi Golf GTI going 90 down the highway. Nip Brim from Nick Brim's Woodworks. We're working. By the way, Nick, we need to strategize on getting Mayo back. Judd from the Mountie from Nivens and Sons. Your Apocalypse BFF Justin from Campfire Woodworks. Mac and Tracy from, I don't know if Tracy wants me to say Mac on this, but I feel like Mac should get credit where it's not deserved.
Yeah. No, you know, it's all good. They're a team.
They are a team, right? You know, but you know, I know it was Tracy that signed up, but I'll give Mac the credit. And I think that probably happens to her a lot, right?
All right, well then just Tracy from M&T.
Not Mac. Mac, if you want to sponsor us too, that'd be fine. But it's just Tracy, not Mac. For Tracy from Mac and Tracy Woodworks, but not Mac.
I hope Mac sends us a big middle finger picture.
Dude, I have only met Mac the one time. We've only had exchanges the one time. And I love Mac, but Mac could straight up pick me up over the head and fucking swing me around and kill me like easily. Mac looks super strong. Yeah. And then our newest Patreon, which I didn't even realize until I opened this up today, Ben at Willowwood Designs and Co.
What up, Ben? Welcome in, dude. Yeah. So he's a local buddy of mine down in San Diego. What's up, another man? Ben.
Cool.
Yeah. Welcome to the party.
Look, we should call him Other Ben.
You know what Ben does for a living, which is the coolest job that you dude. Ben drives hovercrafts, bro, for the Navy.
What?
How fucking cool is that?
No, he right? doesn't. That's he not a does. Job.
That's a job, bro. That's a fucking. I mean, dude, he's straight out of G.I. Joe, bro. G.I. Joe.
Fuck him, too.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I motherfucked so many people on this podcast that I think that people secretly hope that I've motherfucked them, too. You know? Like, man, I really hope Luke gets some kind of beef with me. Drives fucking hovercrafts?
Drives hovercrafts, bro. Pretty fucking
How many times
cool.
do you think he's saying, where are we going? We don't need roads.
A lot.
That's I hope so. That's all I would be fucking saying. Oh, we want to drive on the beach? That's fine. We don't need roads. Oh, we want to drive on the water? We don't need roads.
Like, Dude, he's a man, dude. Ben's so cool. I saw him at a hockey game. I did a gig in San Diego at a hockey, and him and his wife and kid were there. Pretty cool. Anyways, thanks, guys. Anybody, we love you guys. We appreciate you being our patrons. And if you listen to this podcast and want to support us in a way that is absolutely unnecessary, since we don't do anything with the money, but we appreciate you and love you, feel free to click the link at the bottom of every episode and choose how you want to support this podcast. We love you guys, and you're a bunch of stone cold killers. Damn it.
This fucking guy makes cool shit too.
Oh, Ben? Oh, yeah. He's the man, dude. He does CNC work, he does laser work. He's just the coolest cat Great. In town. Yeah. Ben's cool. He's a good dude. And he's got the best name around. So, you know what I mean? I always tell people when he's around or the Ben Myers guy's around, I'm the other Ben. You know what I mean?
Well, you guys need to do what the Keiths have done and unionize your all the people with your name.
There you go. We need to do that. Me, Ben Myers, Ben.
I feel like Willowwood. The Bens would be far less organized than the Keiths.
We might be. Although those two are way better off than me. I'm the one dragging the Bens down, let's be honest. I'm the anchor here.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's got like a beautiful family. He's a good looking dude. Fuck him.
Yeah. You've already motherfucked our new patron first day.
Fuck him. Fuck him and his cool job and wild success. That's why, look, the only Lukes are Luke. Well, I guess you could say that Lucas from Man-Made is a Luke, kinda.
I think you are also the anchor between Lucas Man-Made, Lucas P.L. Smith, and you.
I mean,
I don't know.
Dude, we do have the potential for chaos, but it's all potential.
The Joinery Podcast, the anchors of the maker community.
This is why we were voted best podcast of 2023.
That's right, baby. The commute killers, baby. That's us right here.
Fucking it's over now, bitch. I've been sitting in a truck for 20 minutes. Like, how long is this fucking podcast this week?
You're welcome.
You're welcome, motherfucker. This is all for Dave the Thriller Miller. who's got a beard like a handful of deer intestine.
All right, get us out of here, man.
Take it away, Tim. Beef and stuff. How many episodes are we in now? When's season 3 drop?
We still got like 15 more episodes of this season.
I gotta start listening to our podcast.
I know you do. Later, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Conman Creative production. Text us anytime at 908-768-2664 or send us a message on our Instagram, The Jointery Podcast. You can find Ben at Condorosa Creations or Luke at Luke in the Garage. Everywhere that social media is sold. That's garage, not garage. Say it properly.